Hey, hey, hey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Kingdom Culture Life Redefined podcast. We are so glad you have joined us today. And as I tell you every week, may you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. I want to say hello to my co-host. Hello, Lori.
Hello. How you doing this week?
I am doing fantastic. How about you?
Doing wonderful.
I'm glad. It's good to see you. Well, they can't see you,
I can
but the
see
program
you.
We're using, I can see you and you can see me, but it's good to see
you. Good to see you.
I love modern technology. Here I am, and I finally made it back to Tennessee today. I've been in Kentucky, but I made it back to Tennessee today, and I'm in my office now doing the podcast, and you are in
Georgia.
You're at home doing in your office
little,
doing the
little
doing
Perry, podcast. Georgia.
Well, that's fantastic. Lord, we're going to continue where we ended last week, and I want to read this scripture again real quick. We've been talking about you're not who you were, and specifically renewing our minds. And I want you to hear this, child of God. I want you to hear this Galatians 5:22 from the Passion. I want you to listen to this. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you, this already lives within you. This is what the Spirit of God is producing in you, is divine love in all its varied expression. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and this is what comes from that love: joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Amen. These things are in you. These things are in you. The Passion goes on to say, never set a law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the virtue, the faith, the gentleness, the strength are meant to be limitless in you, child of God. You don't seek after these. You don't pray for these. They're already there. You just let it flow out of you. You just learn how to yield to it. That's what the Spirit of God produces in you. Can you say amen to that, Dr.
Amen. Lori? That's right.
Lori, we stopped last week. We were talking about a very real subject. It's not a joke. It's and we don't want anyone to ever think
that we're making light.
Would make light of it. And the World Health Organization says that one in every eight people in the world live with a mental disorder. And we started talking a little bit about mental disorders. And you were getting ready to tell us something that you have been through and something you faced in your life and what God has done for you and how God has brought you through that. Would you please pick up right there and share that with us, if you will.
Yeah, and again, we're not making light of any mental illness. We're just saying that through Jesus, that he can heal all things. So absolutely. If you're dealing with, PTSD, if you're dealing with, whatever disorder that you may have been diagnosed with, and when I say diagnosed, I mean a doctor has diagnosed. I'm not talking about going on Google and Googling your symptoms, because that can get you into trouble big time.
Absolutely.
I used to be visit Dr. Google quite often, and it never turned out good. So, like, if you feel like you're dealing with something and you need help, like, go get the help you need. But then also, let's give it to Jesus and let him, let him begin to break it open and heal you. What was you going to say?
That's exactly right. Well, I was going to say, and I want to wade into this carefully and basing on what you just said, because I've actually seen this. And I said this last week. For years, it's right after I got in church anyway, and for a long time, the church never really recognized mental disorders or anything like that. They just didn't know how to handle it, deal with it. We just didn't recognize it. You just ran around the church seven times. You jumped up and down seven times.
Or people don't have emotions. That's usually what we don't listen to that.
And now we're all the way to the other extreme where everything seems to be a disorder or a problem. And we're letting the world label everything as a disorder. And now, and even when my son Drew, who is a diabetic, when he had with his service dog, he would have issues taking his licensed, trained service dog with him into places because businesses were so burnt by what are they, emotional service animals.
Emotional support
which
animals.
Were just, would go in there and cause chaos in the restaurant or whatever, because they weren't a real service dog. Mm-hmm. People have taken the mental disorders to the extreme with all kinds of things. And you, as you said, you can't just Google something, or if you do, Google can tell you got all kinds of symptoms. So we're certainly not downplaying anything anybody's legitimately going through, but you know, make sure it's really real.
Yeah, and get the help that you need.
Sense?
That's the
get the help that
you
need.
Because if it's something that you need and your body needs, go get the help you need. Don't just sit at home and be depressed. Find a counselor. You know, schedule an appointment. Talk to your pastor. Because I know some churches that they don't really believe in counseling or whatever, but if that be the case, talk to somebody else. Find another church. Well, do whatever you have to do to get better. Because we're not saying don't pretend like nothing's wrong, because it's real.
Hey, this Kingdom Culture podcast is all about being free, life redefined, living the God life that God has for us, and enjoying life.
Amen.
If you and I or whoever, if we're in bondage of any kind, that's not enjoying life.
No.
And I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. And I ask you the question, with all your clients, how many of them want to still be in the bondage that they're they're coming to you because they want to be free.
Yeah.
There's, you know, 99, I could probably safely say 99% of the people that I know or that I deal with, that I minister to, that are suffering from something like that want to be free. There are a handful that love the attention.
Yeah.
They like what the attention gets them, and they don't want to be free, and they'll continue to make stuff up because they like what it does for them and the attention that it brings to them. But
well, I've seen people here.
The majority do
I've
not.
I've seen people here even recently, you know, in our altars and in our church services, being set free from anxiety, from depression, you know, all those things that happen in the mind, they're being set free from those things. So absolutely, there's freedom in it. And some people's journey may just take a little longer to get there, but don't give up on it. Don't give up on God. And sometimes it's, like I said, we don't know what the issue is, so we need to go find out what the issue is. So then we can bring it back to Jesus and say, need you to heal this. Like, never giving
That's
up
right.
on God healing you. Don't just take, you know, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. It doesn't have to be that way. And that's basically all we're trying to say, is it doesn't have to be that way. Because there's, you know, two incidents in my life, particularly, that I dealt with a mental, you know, mental issues. The one was, and I didn't even realize, and I wasn't going to share this one, but I'm going to share it first. When my mother passed away from cancer, I didn't even realize until recently that I was, you know, probably clinically depressed. But it was there was a reason for that depression, because I lost my mother. So guess what? I made it through it. I made it through it with Jesus. I made it through it with prayer. I made it through it with encouragement from other people. And not saying that, you know, it couldn't have ended a different way. I know it would have ended a different way if I didn't know Jesus. I'll just say it that way. So there is help. And the second story that I was wanting to share was a time in my life when I dealt with trauma. And you know what happened? A lot of people know the story, or a lot of, you know, people that we know, people in my church that know the story of what happened to my husband. I don't even know if you know this story, but he died on the bathroom floor.
I do not know that
story. Let me tell you that story and how amazing God is. So
come on now.
This is the miracle part of it, but then there's multiple miracles that happened in all of it, but my miracle, I'll share at the end. But it was back in 2016. Jay was diagnosed with a blood clot in his lungs, and they sent him home instead of putting him in the hospital. They sent him home, and that evening we, you know, went to bed like normal. In the middle of the night, he woke up, went to the bathroom, yelled out for me, and then collapsed on the bathroom floor. And the way that our bathroom is set up, like, he was up against the wall, and I couldn't budge him. I couldn't pull him out. I couldn't do CPR, nothing. And like, he was not breathing, he wasn't responding for probably 3 or 4 minutes. You know, I called 911. It took him a while to get here, but in the middle of all that, I just laid my hand on his shoulder and I said, in the name of Jesus. That's all the, you know, in that moment, that's all I could even fathom to say was in the name of Jesus. And when I did, he took a deep breath and he opened his eyes and he said, what happened? And like, in the moment that the miracle happened, I'm still like trying to figure out, did I just witness what I just witnessed? And, you know, I didn't say anything to anybody because I'm still in my mind. I'm thinking, you know, what just happened? But he instantly woke up. They took him on to the hospital. He was in the hospital for like 2 weeks. The second miracle happened. His heart rate like wouldn't come under 120. Like no matter what medication they gave him, whatever, his heart rate stayed above 120. So during a church service, we were listening, you know, to our pastor preach. And we had it on in the room, and they began to pray for Jay in the church service. And, you know, we had nurses coming in, and they're listening to all this. And, I mean, it was just, God just set it all up. And during that prayer, I watched, because I, you know, didn't take my, and this is where the trauma come in. I didn't take my eyes off of that monitor for 2 weeks. I watched his heart rate fluctuate, you know, up and down, up and down, not knowing, didn't sleep at night, didn't eat anything for, you know, 2 weeks. I was a wreck. Like I'm generally a strong person that can handle some pretty tough times. But in that moment, like my world had crashed, and I was doing everything that I could do just to hold it together. And, I watched as they began to pray, his heart rate went from 120 down to like 115, 110, because all I wanted, and I kept praying, is God, just bring it under 100, just bring it under 100, come on down to 100, and then I'm like, and then it came down to 99, and then I'm like, thank you, Jesus, and it came on down to 90, down to 80, came all the way down awesome. To like 68, and it kind of just rested there at 68. And I mean, it had been up and down, and it just rested at 68. And from that moment on, his resting heart rate has been between 60 and 70. So that's the second miracle. So he came home from the hospital, and it was, you know, within a couple weeks, he was back to work. Everything looked normal, right? Everything looked like, you know, we made it through. I think it was about a week when he was in the hospital that I even asked him. I'm like, what did you, like, whenever, because he asked me, well, he brought it up. He said, how many people were in the bathroom that night? I said, it was just me and you. He said, there wasn't a crowd of people. And I'm like, no, it was just me and you. He said, I was like, what, well, what did you experience? Because I still hadn't told him that he had died, right? So he's like, well, I was at a really, like, peaceful place. And I was surrounded by people. I couldn't see their faces, but I was surrounded by people. And I just remember feeling at peace. And I was like, was there a bright light? And he's like, no, there was no, there wasn't a bright light. So I'm not sure that's true or not. So we're going to, you know, we'll see one day. But anyway, he said he was just at peace. And so then I told him, like, you were gone for at least 3-4 minutes. You were gone. No heart rate. Like no, like nothing was happening. He wasn't breathing, like no pulse, nothing. And so then we started talking about it, and it kind of, even though God did the miracle, it scared both of us. And then from that point forward, coming home for the first time, you know, to get clothes and go back to the hospital, it was a traumatic experience. You know, even him during the night, you know, I would wake up multiple times through the night just to see if he was breathing, because the doctor told him you should have died in your sleep. Another, you know, level of trauma. This went on for about a year that I was traumatized. I didn't want to leave him. I didn't want him to go back to work. If I would call him and he didn't answer his phone, I would begin to panic, like literal go into a panic attack.
That's that PTSD.
Yeah, exactly. PTSD, yeah. Like I was traumatized by everything that had happened. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the singer Eddie James. Have you ever heard of?
Yes.
Well, he has a song that's called Be Healed. And in his song, during the time that we were in the hospital, I played one of his albums on repeat. And it was the only thing that gave me peace at that time. And one of his songs was Be Healed. be healed from the trauma, be healed from the pain.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And whenever I was on my way to church a year later, and I was listening to this song, still dealing with this PTSD from what happened. And he sang that line, be healed from the trauma. And when he sang that, it like a light bulb went on in my mind. And I'm like, I don't have to live like this. And so I asked Jesus, I said, Jesus, I need you to heal me from this trauma. Heal me from all these memories, all of this that we've lived through. I need you to heal me from it. And instantly God took it from me. And I was flooded with peace and with joy. And not saying that in the days after that followed, that didn't try to come back on me, those memories didn't try to, you know, resurface. But I always take authority over them. And I always, you know, go back to the word of God and the peace and the scripture. My scripture is, God's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
Like, he gave us a sound mind. He didn't give us fear, but a sound mind. And so that's where I always go back to when the trauma tries or the thoughts try to resurface. In Jesus' name, like, no. That moment, he healed me of that trauma. And so for anybody out there that's listening, that's reliving things that's happened to you, like, Jesus can heal that too. We just have to, give him access to it. And sometimes that process is hard.
If you are listening to us right now, whatever trauma you have, that you've been through, that post-traumatic stress disorder, you don't need me to read the definition of that. You're dealing with it. You're facing it. It comes up. But I want you to listen. I sent this out the other day to several different people in a group text, and the Lord just brought it back to my attention to read it to you. Listen to this, the trauma that Jesus went through, or a description of what he looked like because of the trauma that Jesus went through for you, so you could be delivered from this trauma that you may be facing right now. Isaiah 52:14 from the Passion reads like this: just as many were appalled at the sight of him, talking about Jesus, for so marred was his appearance, like an object of horror, he no longer looked like a man. That word mar, the literal rendering, presents a shocking picture. So marred from the form of man was his aspect that his appearance was not like that of the Son of Man. That is not human. This was the effect of the brutalities described in Matthew 26:67-68, chapter 27, verse 27 through 30. That's what Jesus Christ went through so you could be delivered. You and I could be delivered from any post-traumatic stress disorder or any disorder that we've went through, or your whatever trauma that you have faced. Jesus has carried such trauma and was marred so brutally for your healing, for your deliverance.
Amen.
And Lori's testimony her and Jay's testimony right here is a perfect example of that. Lori didn't read this out of a storybook.
Yeah.
She lived this, and she's been healed from this. She's not continually being tormented by this because as she just said, God has not given her a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
That
sound mind literally means disciplined thinking.
Amen.
She can control her thoughts now because she has so trained her mind with the word of God that when any of that stuff was to try to come back up, immediately the scripture begins to respond.
That's right.
Because that's how Lori's renewed her mind and trained her mind. Is that correct, Lori?
Yes. And I'm glad that you said train your mind, because the mind is absolutely capable of being retrained. And that's what we have to do, because we, our mind either responds with blocking out an instance or a traumatic thing that happens to us, either blocks it out or we fixate on it, and then these disorders begin to manifest. So one way or the other, and, you know, we're going to deal with it. And what was so amazing about when Jesus healed that trauma, I remember maybe a couple years after, this is how far he removed these thoughts from my mind. I think our pastor was speaking one Wednesday night, and he said, has anybody ever witnessed a miracle? The first thing that came to my mind, I kid you not, was whenever I was a kid in church, someone prayed for someone with cancer and it fell off in their hand. And I'm like, yeah, I seen it when I was a kid, blah, 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 blah. Somebody from across the church yells over and says, he brought your husband back to life. And I'm like, oh yeah, that too. But that's how far
that's
Jesus,
the power
exactly.
Of healing. That's,
I didn't even
oh,
think
goodness.
About it. I didn't even like, and we all laugh because I'm like, Jesus removed it so far from my mind that like, I didn't even, that's not my first response. And that's,
listen to me.
That's amazing.
Somebody hear this right now. Somebody hear this right now. You're thinking, I'll never get past this. I'll never be able to get through this. I'll never Amen. Be able to get over this. It was too painful. It hurt too bad. You just heard Lori. Listen to her
Jesus
testimony. Let it resonate
too.
In your spirit yeah. in the name of Jesus and be healed. Be healed. Renew your mind. You're a child of God.
Amen.
And the same God that didn't give Lori the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That same God's given you power, love, and a sound
right.
mind. Renew your mind. Renew your thinking to who you are in Christ Jesus. Whether if you're, I don't care what kind of disorder you are dealing with right now. If it's confusion, if it's nightmares, if it's panic attacks, mm-hmm. if it's fear, if it's obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, none of those are to be taken lightly. I know
not beyond
that
the scope of Jesus' healing.
It's not beyond the scope. Yeah. It's not beyond the scope. And I want to say this also carefully, Lori, because I know, and it gets on my nerves. It gets on my nerves real bad because Christians now, it seems like there are some disorders that are terrible and, you know, we don't want them and blah, blah, blah. But then there's that OCD. And as long as we call it OCD, we laugh about it. Oh, yeah, I got OCD.
Yeah.
OCD. That is a controlling disorder that produces fear yeah. in you. It produces fear in you. It produces disturbing thoughts and images and obsessions in you. It's not funny.
Yeah.
And it's not a cool disorder. You know,
and
you don't have to be labeled with it. Just because you like stuff clean or you like stuff organized don't mean you have to let the world label you and create some chaos in your mind that you've got some kind of crazy disorder.
Yeah.
You can still like order. You can still like cleanliness. You can still like that stuff, but not let it control you. You can control it.
That's it.
Through the power of the Holy
yeah.
Ghost, right?
Well, that's it.
And you don't have to label yourself with some kind of disorder. And the other one is attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder. So the world wants to do what? Put our kids on pills, put our kids on medication because they're some of the times they're super active and all that stuff. That's not funny either. That's a disorder. That's a controlling mindset. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the power of that sound mind, yeah, you might be full of energy all the time and blah, 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 whatever. And you might be just hyped up and jacked up, but that's fine. You don't have to yeah. label it a disorder. Let God turn that thing around so you can use it for your good and for your benefit.
Yeah, and for His glory.
You don't have to be labeled with some kind of disorder that you got to suffer yeah. from. Am I stepping out of bounds on that, Lori?
No, I agree.
A disorder is a disorder.
I totally agree. And because anything that, you know, and oftentimes I tell my clients, it doesn't matter where the thought comes from. Because a lot of people get, especially Christians, get hung up in the fact that, well, is this mental? Is this physical? Is this spiritual? Is this the devil? Is this, is this an attack? It does not matter because the word of God covers it all. That's what we, it doesn't matter if we're
Absolutely.
Fighting the devil. It doesn't matter if we're fighting the flesh. It doesn't matter if like what we're dealing with, Jesus covers it all. And don't get caught up in the whys, but just know that He can set you free. You don't have
That's
to get
right.
caught up into, because you know, and you know it as well as I do. I'm not discounting the fact that the enemy is there to kill, to steal, destroy. I'll get it out in a minute. He is an adversary, but that doesn't mean that we succumb to the adversary. That doesn't mean that we don't have authority to rebuke him and he has to leave. So if the mental issue is the enemy, or if you thinking it's the, you know, whatever the attack is, whether it be flesh or whether it be spiritual, we still combat with the word of God. That's our weapon. The sword of the Spirit is our weapon.
Scripture. Here's the word of God. Here's the word of God. Here's what the word of God says. Here's our scripture again that we opened up with last week. Colossians 1:13 from the Amplified. Our Father has, past tense, talking to Christians, delivered us, drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So darkness has no more dominion over us and no more control over us. Over our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our finances, it doesn't matter. Jesus has delivered us from the control and the dominion of darkness of that thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And now we must renew our minds to this truth, to this reality.
Train the mind.
Listen, that disorder, OCD, post-traumatic stress disorder, hyperactivity disorder, the depression, the anxiety, you've been told it runs in your family. It, you know, your mom was that way, your grandma was that way, whatever, your father, your dad, that alcoholism, whatever, whatever, all that stuff. You've been told that. That was your reality before you came to Jesus. It is not your reality now that you're in Jesus. It was your reality in Adam, the flesh, but it's not your reality now.
That's right.
Your reality now is God has delivered you from that darkness and the power of that darkness, and now you must renew your mind to that reality. This is real. Complete freedom in Christ Jesus is real. That's Lori, that's your reality. That's our producer Jay's reality. That's my reality. That's your reality, Christian. Complete freedom in Christ Jesus is your reality. So right now, listen, this is who you are now. You are not who you were, but according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, you were sometimes darkness, but now, somebody please listen to me say now, but now are you light in the Lord, so walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, we're no longer darkness. We were darkness. We're not darkness. Now we are righteousness. Now we are peace. Now we are joy in the Holy Ghost. Can somebody please say amen to that right there? Lori and I want to impress upon you through this podcast. I want you to hear me, friend. Listen to me right now. In your heart, I want to impress upon you, your heart, the fact that you have the resources that you need within you right now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now. You have all of God that you need dwelling within you right now to overcome anything that you are dealing with. God is not there sleeping. God is not, he's not there idle. He's not forgotten about his promises. God didn't come to set up a tent in you and enjoy a vacation. God is there to work out your salvation. All right? But listen to me. God never works without coming through your thinking, without coming through your vision, without coming through your faith. You're the channel. Your mind, which is your thinking, your mouth, which is your speaking, play a major part in you enjoying your freedom. You've got to retrain your mind and you got to retrain your mouth.
Yeah, and I want to share before we close out, because I think we're getting close to that.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's what
you got to retrain your mind, and you got to retrain your mouth.
What I want to share. When you renew your mind to the fact that your thoughts, like everything that we think, matters. So we have to control it. We can't just let, because a lot of people don't realize that they control the mind that doesn't control them.
Absolutely.
We control that.
I think that's a principle we must learn. And that's, again, that's why we teach. That's why we teach. That's why we preach. You need to listen to what she just said, friend. You don't have to let your mind control you. God's given you the ability to control it. You don't have to let it run away. You don't have to let those thoughts take over and just run you rampant and become a stronghold in you that they just drive you crazy. They keep you up at night. They cause that fear. They cause that depression. You don't have to let your thoughts control you or your mind control you. You take control over it.
Go ahead, Lori. You renew the mind to the fact that the thoughts matter. You begin to detox the brain. You switch over from fear, from worry, from anger, to power, to love, and a sound mind. So we go from fear, worry, anger, to power, love, and a sound mind. So we have to start today, start tonight, We have to begin to be intentional about paying attention to every single thought that comes into your mind. Grab you a journal. Start writing down every thought that's coming, that's plaguing your mind, every thought that's like keeping you up at night, every thought. And I'm telling you, it works. If we take those thoughts captive, we keep the good, we take the bad captive. That's how it works. Keep the good, take the bad captive. So even if it's a good thought and it's something that you want to remember about what God has done for you, how he's been faithful, write that down too. So we keep the good. And what do? Take the bad captive. You keep your mind fixed on Jesus. Your life and your faith will go to a new level in your relationship with God. The scripture tells us in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So every day you can stand in your mirror or sit in your car, whatever. I'm going to let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. I take control. I take captive of every thought. And then you go and throughout the day, if that thought, and I'm telling you, it works. I've been taking thoughts that are keeping me up at night, something that I'm feeling, it makes me feel some kind of way. I'm just giving it back to Jesus. Like, that's not for me to carry, Jesus. And I hope that eventually we can talk a little bit about that, how Jesus, in the next couple episodes, we can talk about what Jesus says to do with these burdens, what Jesus says to do with this heavy stuff, because he gives us explicit instructions in his word of what we are to do. The problem is that we as Christians, or Christians, as you keep saying, we fail to use it. We fail to apply it. We fail to walk in it. That's why we're failing to be free. That's why we're not living free indeed, because we are allowing, even though we're walking or we're talking the talk, we're not walking the walk. We come in on Sundays, you know, the pastor or the preacher or the praise team, whoever, or even the praise team, sometimes they got all these thoughts going through their mind. They can't take their thoughts captive. And they're up there trying to lead in worship and their mind is going crazy. It's an issue, but it's not an issue that can't be solved. It's not an issue that there is no, it's not a problem that doesn't have an answer. The answer is the word of God. That's the key. Retraining the brain with the word of God. And so the scripture, once again, Philippians 2:5, I'm going to let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then find other scriptures that apply to whatever situation you're dealing with. And start reciting those, start training the brain, start, making them a part of your life, daily life. Write them on your mirror. Do whatever you have to do. Put them on a card. Keep them in your wallet. Whatever you have to do to make sure that you have the word of God in you, implanting that word in the heart, right? Heart and the mind have a connection. When it's in the heart, absolutely, it's going to connect to the mind.
Absolutely. This is what I want you to do. I want you to, first of all, Galatians 2:20, get it down, get it in your spirit. I'm not going to quote it now. If you know me, you've been hearing me preach enough, you know that's my candlestick scripture, so to speak. That changed my life. That revolutionized my mind, my thinking, my everything. So, friend, get that down. Quote it, read it, meditate on it, pray it every day, pray it every morning. Get it in your spirit so much you don't even have to look at it anymore. It's just there. It tells you who you are. It tells you what kind of, that you're not living your life, you're living, Christ is living his life through you. Amen. You read that. Second thing I want you to start doing, and next podcast, Lori and I are going to start going into more detail, like she just said, about how to renew your mind, how to, what scriptures to apply, how to renew your mind. We're going to go into that a little deeper. But for this week, I want you to take Galatians 2:20, learn it, meditate on it, let it become a part of you. And then I want you to take Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. You are Christ. You belong to him. His nature is in you. His DNA is in you. So all that he is, you are. You are in Christ. So I want you to start confessing that. I am love. I am joy. I am peace. I'm patience. I'm long-suffering. I'm gentleness. I'm goodness. I'm faith, I'm meekness, I'm temperance. Confess those things. Meditate on those things. Hear yourself saying that and thinking that and feeling that. because that's the nature of Christ inside of you. Confess that you have those. It'll change your life. It'll change your life, and it will empower you tremendously.
Well, they have to recite my scripture,
Amen?
Too. That's their homework as well, my scripture.
Well, yeah, you told them that. That's the first one. If they didn't get that one, we're going to start over.
I'm kidding. I pick.
I know you are. I'm picking, too. Hey, it's been great, Lori. Thank you again. I've felt the Holy Ghost really strong in these last two.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I believe it's really going to minister to somebody and really going to touch somebody's life.
Amen.
But friend, listen, it's not going to work whether you listen to Lori and I or some other podcast or to your pastor. It ain't going to work if you don't apply the word. It's just really that simple. If you don't apply it, it doesn't work. And we read this scripture often. You know, Paul said, we're hearers of the word, but we're not doers of the word. And if we're not doers of the word, we deceive our own selves. And I liken that, and I'm going to close with this, but I liken often to this. If you go to the doctor with a medical issue and he diagnoses it and then he gives you a prescription and says, this is what I want you to do. And he puts directions on that bottle. Take one pill in the morning, one pill in the evening, whatever, with a meal for 10 days and you'll be cured. If you go home and set that on the shelf and say, well, there's my medicine. It's right by my bed. It's right there. Get up in the morning and pat it and say, there's my medicine. But you never follow the directions on that bottle. You can go back to that doctor in 10 days with the same problem. He's going to ask you if you took all your medicine. You're going to say no. He's not going to give you another prescription. He's not going to tell you to do anything else but to go do what I told you to do. It's the same way with the Word of God and the same thing with what we're teaching. If you just take it home and say, that was a good podcast, I'm going to set it to the side right here. That was nice. Those are good scriptures. I wrote it down. I wrote down Lori's scripture. I wrote down the other scriptures. And there they are right there by my headboard. But if you don't speak them, think them, talk them, meditate on them, take that medicine, it's not going to work. Yeah. God bless you. We love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Thank you so much for joining us. We're praying for you. If you do have any prayer requests, please send it in kingdomculture.lr@gmail.com. We'll see you next week. God bless.